This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor. And Chris Weigel is my co-host, and every weekend we are welcoming all of you here. We're doing life together, and we're so glad that you've joined us. So, Chris, it's a new year.
Yes.
Happy New Year.
You
again.
Do. Happy New Year.
Mm-hmm. Again. Did you make any resolutions?
Yes, I have, actually.
Uh-oh, you did.
Right. I have a history of making resolutions and not keeping them.
You do.
So the resolution for this year is to stop making bad resolutions. This may be a launching point for something positive.
So that means you're making a resolution not to make any resolutions.
Right. It's a win-win situation. Yeah. Okay. Great place to be.
You know what? I'm kind of in your ballpark because I don't make resolutions either because right. I just think I need to be doing things all year long. I do have this idea, though, that we should kind of start fresh in January. Mm-hmm. And try to start some new initiatives. Maybe that's a closeted way of saying I'm making a resolution. I'm not sure. I don't want to set it because then I'm afraid I'm going to break it.
So you must be a perfectionist.
A little bit, but not terribly. I just don't think that resolutions are always real helpful, but a lot of people do it. A lot of people make them. If you've been in the gym, you see the people on January 2nd through now, there's a huge group of people. I mean, it's so crowded. And I'm telling you, by January 30th, that place will be back to where it was,
pretty much
empty again. That is an indicator of how well these resolutions work. So we're going to try to talk to you about how to really make good change and make it stick.
I feel something coming here. You're about to tell me some awful statistics about resolutions.
Yeah, you guessed it. Because studies show that 20% of all resolutions are failed attempts. But listen, in the first week of January, 20% of you are listening to us and have already failed the resolution that you made.
Well, our intentions are good, but our follow-through is where the rubber really meets the road. Too many of us begin the new year with a bang, and then we fizzle out.
Yeah.
I didn't know the fizzling happened that fast.
It does. Isn't that amazing? Within
yes.
the first week, that's like a fifth of people are already dropping off the wagon. But here's the good news. The bad stats are not going to stop us. We all have things in our life we want to change. And change is good if it's for the good things. So if you've already failed, you can start again. We don't want to discourage you with these bad statistics. Maybe we don't like the way we treat our boss. Maybe that's one of the things you want to work on. Or maybe you're starting to think about some prejudices that you hold in your heart. Or maybe you're really struggling with addiction and you really want to say, this is the year I'm going to get free of that. Perhaps we want to stop an annoying habit. Maybe somebody is listening and saying, I really want to be less self-centered. Or here's a big one, take better care of my body.
Right.
Whatever the desire is, we know that change is not easy. And we know that it often doesn't stick, but there are things you can do to ensure change. Let's see what we can do to keep up with our good intentions and make those things stick.
And when we want to change, do we really think through how committed we are? Is that why so many of us fail at sustaining it?
Yeah, I really think that is the crux. Mm-hmm. Before you make a change, you really have to start asking yourself a few questions. Mm-hmm. Am I really ready to make this change? So here are the questions you can ask. Why do you want to change? Sometimes people just feel guilty.
Yeah.
You know, I gained weight. I got to lose weight.
Right.
But why? And the question I always ask my patients are, why now? So you need to look at the why. Another important question is, for whom are you changing?
Right.
Are you doing this because you're getting threatened by a spouse? You better change or else. So is it for you or is it for someone else? If you're changing for the wrong person, if you're not really changing because it's something you see a need to change, chances are that's not going to work very well. And then I always ask this to my clients, what will happen if you decide not to change? I have people think through, if you don't change, how will your life go on?
Right.
What will it look like? What things can you tolerate? Will you be okay if things just go the same way? That's a good question. And then here's a really important one. Have you ever tried making this change before?
Mm-hmm.
And if you have, let's talk about weight loss, for instance.
Okay.
Have you ever tried to diet before or to lose weight?
Yes.
Most people will say that, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happened when you tried that?
just like everything else, it went great for a while.
Yeah.
But then, eh.
So before we say, I'm going to get back on that wagon and I'm going to try to lose weight, we have to think, what is going to be different this time around? What am I going to do differently? Because if I've done it before and I've failed, you don't want to repeat the same process again.
Can we go back to the first question? Let's say someone wants to lose weight or stop smoking.
Okay, those are good ones.
And now, why do you want to change? Why now? If someone knows they need to stop smoking because they smell like a cigarette and, you know, their family doesn't like it, but if they really don't want to themselves,
they won't.
If they enjoy the habit, then they probably will keep doing it.
As we get into this a little bit, there's something called the stages of change.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in what's called a pre-contemplative stage, which means you're not even thinking about changing. Somebody has bothered you about something, told you that something needs to change. You have a gut feeling that something needs to change, but you're really not thinking about it. That is not a time to try to make the change. You have to move from that stage to something we call contemplation, where you're at least beginning to say, okay, what are the pros and what are the cons of me changing? If you can get to that stage, there's a little bit more of a likelihood that you might go forward. So ask yourself, too, as we were talking about some of those other questions, what will make you successful this time? And one of the things that will make you successful is if you're not in that stage of, I don't really care.
Right.
Because don't even try it if you're there. And once you change, what will be different? I have people kind of think about that. If you stop smoking, how would your life look? What would be different? This is a therapy question we sometimes ask people. If you would wake up tomorrow morning and whatever that issue is would be different, what would it look like? When we get people to focus on that, then they start to generate these reasons to change. And then we ask people on a scale of 1 to 10, how committed are you? So it goes back to that commitment thing again.
Right.
If you're only at a 2, forget about it. It's just not going to happen. So you really got to say, am I committed to this?
Well, this is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and the topic for today is what it takes to change. When we come back, we'll talk about the first step to making real change once you decide you really want some part of your life to be different. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful. And they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold.
So you don't tweet and you don't post? No problem. Check out the relationship doctor, Dr. Linda Mental, on MyFaithRadio.com.
And welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where today we're talking about what it takes to make change.
Dr. Linda, what is the first step in making real change once you decide you really want something in your life to be different?
We've already established that you have to commit to the change.
Right.
I think the most important thing, and I think you would agree with this, Chris, is that you should spend some time with God.
Right.
Don't you think?
Definitely, yeah.
Examining your priorities and really saying, okay, why am I doing this? Why do I need to change? What needs to change in my life? You can't think spending 45 minutes or an hour in church on Sunday mornings is all you need to make change. And a lot of us do that as Christians. We think, well, I'll just go to church. And then do you ever do this? You hear the sermon and you think, okay, I really feel convicted of that. I really need to be a nicer person, or I need to have a better attitude. I need to forgive somebody. But then you leave church and the rest of the week you don't really think about it.
Usually the conviction ends by lunchtime, Sunday after church, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, it is.
But it is the case of a lot of conviction.
So the cure for that is to be spending time with the Lord and to really use that time to pray and allow the Holy Spirit to examine your heart, as the psalmist said, examine my heart, search my heart, O God, and see what change needs to be in me. And if you're walking with the Lord, the important part of this is that you have the overcoming power of the Holy Spirit in you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be so important in really making a change last. Even though we feel weak in our own power, and it's not just about willpower here, it's about having the Holy Spirit in us, transforming us, and helping us to overcome. When we're talking about addiction, if you're somebody listening and you're saying, I really need to stop using cocaine, or I need to stop using pot, or I need to stop drinking so much, you are going to need the help of the Holy Spirit in your life to overcome that temptation, because there's a physical involvement in a lot of those addictions,
right.
And you can't do that just on your own. You need a lot more than just your own willpower there.
What about our attitude? Does that matter when it comes to this type of change?
It really does. And I think what we see a lot in our culture is this whole idea of I'm a victim and
right.
that I can't change. That is one of the actual lies that's in one of my books, that I married you, not your family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 9 other myths.
Right.
And one of the myths is the belief, this is the way I am, I can't change, deal with it.
Hmm.
That's not something you can say as a Christian, because change is the foundation of the Christian life.
Definitely.
We go from old to new. And it's because of Jesus in our life that we are able to be different. So you can't use that victim mentality as a Christian. It doesn't work very well.
If you do, that means you're putting the power of someone else in your life over the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's not exactly accurate.
And I think the other thing is that we all want change to be instantaneous in our culture. We want to take a pill. We want to just do something for a quick time. And we just want things to be different fast. And change usually takes a lot of time. You may go through some long periods, even years, feeling like you haven't made any progress at all on something. But in reality, you probably have if you've been attending to that change, being very intentional. Most of the time, what happens in our lives is that change occurs daily in these little increments that we don't even notice. But if you just look back, if you keep a journal, you can really see the difference by reading a journal that you have. You realize that things have gotten better and some things have changed. We have to break away from this instantaneous, I have to have it now or I'm not going to work for it.
So the more we can incorporate change into our everyday life, the better off we are.
That really is key. That is exactly right. It has to work with our schedule and it has to work with our life. A young mom can't get to the gym in the middle of the day.
Right.
So asking her to start exercising and going to a gym is ridiculous. That's not a strategy that's going to work. Or a working person that gets home at 6 or 7 at night isn't going to sit down and say, oh, I'm going to cook a really healthy meal now. You know, you have to have a strategy to do something different. So, for example, if we're talking about you want to eat healthier, avoid the fast food. That's an everyday change that we could easily make.
Right.
Just make it one of your new rules. I'm not going to go to the fast food place. And bring some kind of healthy snack to work. Bring a piece of fruit. Bring some nuts or something that would be easier to do than the fattening desserts. You can do simple things like take the stairs instead of the elevator. Park farther away from the store. Walk more. Stand up and do a few light weights while you're watching TV. Those are easy things that we can put into our life that don't require us going to the gym and exercising or hiring a dietitian to help us with our life. If we make it fit into our daily life, that's a good thing.
Well, at the beginning of the program, I told you that I was not going to do a New Year's resolution because I tend to
not do them.
Not do them, right. So how do we deal with feeling defeated because we've already messed up with our change in plans?
We can't give in to defeat. Tell yourself, most people relapse. Most people fail a couple of times before they really change their habits. You have to have that mindset in your head before you start. So just get back on track. If you've messed up and you failed, rather than going, forget it, I'm done, I'm not going to do this anymore, just get back on track and see that relapse, as they call it in the addiction world, as part of the process and the way that change happens. Rarely does somebody go from doing something to not doing something in one straight line. The most important part is to not give up, but get back to your plan despite messing up. If we could get that, we would all do a whole lot better.
Well, then how do our choices come into play when considering change?
That is what positive change is all about. It really is about making good choices. Mm-hmm. If we're not making good choices, we're going to have problems. We choose to watch scary movies. That's just an example. So people say, well, how can I change? How can I help my child not be so fearful? Well, you choose to put your child in front of a scary movie, they're probably going to be a little bit fearful at night. We choose to befriend people with good or bad habits. the way we pick our friends. They influence our behavior. We choose to shake our dad's hand instead of hugging him, maybe because we're afraid to do something different and go in there and try to be uncomfortable. Change is about being uncomfortable and tolerating a little bit of awkwardness and distress when we go that way. We choose to go to school. So if we're thinking, my life is going nowhere, not making it in the work world and what's going on, go to school. Look at changing your educational profile and start to do something. The idea here is that we make choices all the time. We choose to get married. We choose to have children. We choose. No matter what our circumstance is, we can choose to change.
Right.
Want to make sure we get that. You can choose also to hope and be hopeful, and you can choose to never give up.
Now, if I have a victory when I choose to change, let's say it works out, can I celebrate?
You absolutely can. And we should. And that's the issue. We should. We need to do something, even tiny things, patting ourselves on the back, giving ourselves encouragement, saying, way to go, you've gone this far. Giving ourselves credit for hard work is not a prideful thing to do. Giving yourself a little bit of a push is a good thing.
What's something we can expect as far as mistakes go when trying to change?
I think one of the things that you're talking about is I think we have to expect problems, but we have to expect really downright difficult days.
Right.
Really difficult days. These days happen. There's no getting around it. You're just going to have a day when you're feeling like this isn't working for me, and you just need to plan for those. Whatever change you seek, have the words and the actions ready to counter that downtime that comes with those bad days. So think ahead. What actions will I take even when I'm feeling really awful? Sometimes it helps to put that on a piece of paper and put it on a mirror, put it on your refrigerator. What words will guide you through a troublesome day? Get out your Bible. Start to read. Read the Psalms that encourage you and be encouraged. Be prepared. I think you have to plan for these bad days. So if you have something that's written down on a piece of paper and you can look at it, or you open your Bible and you go, okay, I'm going to be encouraged by the Lord. Today I'm going to look at this scripture. I'm going to know that He's with me. He's empowering me. He's giving me everything I need. He's going to be with me through this difficult time. I still can press forward, even in the difficulty.
It's like you said earlier, stay positive.
We want to stay positive because focusing on what you're not doing, which is what we tend to do, makes things worse. This is the biggest one when people are trying to lose weight. They walk around and they go, oh, I can't have that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I like that. I used to be able to go to the mall and eat that. Instead, focus yourself on, hey, I'm going to feel so much more energy. I'm feeling better already. I can have this wonderful piece of fruit and really enjoy this. You have to focus the mind on the positive.
Well, this is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Today's topic, what it takes to change. When we come back from the break, we'll discuss the importance of a support group or a network when trying to make change in your life. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
There's no doubt about it. We are definitely living in the text, Twitter, and email age. The handwritten note has become quite the relic. But just because we don't write much with pen and paper anymore doesn't mean we should forsake the kind and encouraging message. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I want to encourage you to share a kind word. Even if it's a text, the power of telling a friend you're thinking of them, complimenting a success, or just saying, hey, hang in there, can make all the difference. If you've ever had your day interrupted by just a quick but genuine message from someone close, you know how a thought can raise your spirits, rejuvenate your mind, or help you stick on a difficult path because someone just cares. While you're listening right now, someone may come to mind, someone you can encourage with a few words. Take a minute and text, tweet, or email that person. Tell them you value them and the part they play in your life. It just might change their whole day.
You can learn more from relationship Dr. Linda Mental on her website, drlindamental.com.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show in this Happy New Year, and we want to welcome you back because we're talking about change.
One thing we mentioned before the break was the importance of a support group or a network when trying to make change in your life.
In the therapy world, the support network is the most valuable tool that you'll ever have to access. We really encourage people to get around people who are trying to change in the same positive way you are. So going to a group that is focusing on moving out of the stuckness of being in grief, mm-hmm. or a group to stop smoking, or a group to lose weight. Those are really, really helpful. But you can have accountability with your best friend. You right. can have accountability on Facebook with a group of people that are posting together.
My wife and I both have found it to be helpful. There's a small group at our church that we meet with, usually monthly if we can. When you have people around you where you can either commiserate or encourage one another, it's highly valuable.
Yeah, and I think for doing something like exercising, mm-hmm. I find it so hard to go exercise on a regular basis. But if I have somebody who says to me, come on,
right.
we're going to go for a walk, or come on, let's go to the gym, let's do this, I'm much more likely to follow through with that than if I do it myself. Why are you laughing?
Well, at one point I did go to the gym as part of a New Year's resolution with a good friend of mine.
You did.
He was lifting to try to bulk up. I was lifting to burn fat, but I kept doing what he was doing. So I was basically on his program, and I was probably burning fat, but I was gaining weight because we were building up so much muscle.
So you have to have a little discernment here when you, yeah. when you get with the person. Make sure you're on the same page.
Yeah, just don't go to the gym with that guy.
That's right. That's right. But if you do have a lot of support behind you and you're regularly updating, how are we doing? How are we going? You know, we say this in marriage all the time. We say, do what we call a weather check in marriage, mm-hmm. where you kind of say, how are we doing? Are we cloudy? Are we sunny? Are we having a rainy day? You know, it's kind of a cue to each of us to just stay up with things. When you do that, the chances of you sustaining that change is going to be a whole lot more. And I think it's an excellent idea to ask the people that have already done what you've done.
Right.
So the people who have quit smoking, the people who have successfully lost weight, there's a really interesting group of data that you can look up. It's a National Weight Loss Registry, and it's a group of people that have successfully lost at least 67 pounds and have kept it off for 5 years. And so what they've done is they've listed off what they do in order to sustain that weight loss. One of the things is they eat breakfast. Hmm. Another one is they weigh regularly, which a lot of people would think is kind of counterintuitive, that if I weigh regularly, I'm going to maybe get depressed and not stay on my program.
Right.
But that is something that works for sustaining weight loss. If you look at that National Registry of Weight Loss, it will give you the tips. So looking at the people around you who have tried things and they can say, this is what works. If you can't find anybody, then read a top-rated book on the topic mm-hmm. from one of the online bookstores.
Right.
Or maybe find a good blog on that topic that will really help you make the change.
So far, we've talked about spending time with God and having a good network of folks around us who can help.
Yeah.
At what point do you seek professional help?
I think that's really important because we're talking about a lot of habit changing where maybe we want to be less messy, not so upset with people, respond in a different way. But if you're dealing with something very serious, like you know you're depressed mm-hmm. and you really need to do something about that, or you're feeling even suicidal, and January is one of the highest months for people feeling suicidal. It's not during the holidays like a lot of people think. It's after all the holiday frenzy wears off and people go back to their normal lives. So if you're dealing with an addiction, you're really in serious trouble with cocaine or some addictive substance, then you need to go to a mental health professional and you need to get help. And I would suggest go to a Christian who shares your worldview, who can incorporate into that change process the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and can encourage you with scripture. That's a really, really powerful way to make that change and needed if you're dealing with a serious change effort.
You just mentioned the Holy Spirit. Let's talk more about spiritual issues involved in making lasting change. Talk about the role of surrender.
Well, I love this quote. This is a quote I found somewhere, and it says, every limitation we have can be seen as an invitation from God to do for us what we can't do for ourselves.
Hmm.
That's really good, isn't it?
Right,
let me say it again. Every limitation we have can be seen as an invitation from God to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. We have limits. We don't do things the way we always want to do them, but that's an invitation for God to work in us. And what we have to do in that process is we recognize our limitations and we recognize our weaknesses and we're not being the person that we want to be. We can ask God to come in and help us. That's the process of surrender. We don't just give up or play dead or wait for God to do something. I always love the people that say, well, I'm just going to pray and God's going to fix me.
He may not.
Well, you have to surrender your life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of times we have to participate actively with what God is doing in our life. We can't just go, okay, God, I want to be smarter, so just make me smarter. I have to actively surrender whatever is getting in the way of doing that and then take some steps towards doing that. But when we participate with God, He is always there to encourage us, to make a new path of hope in our lives. He heals us in ways that we can't even sometimes see that we've needed to be healed for. So if we drop our guard and we give up our solitary and our isolated efforts to heal ourselves, once we give Him the invitation, He says, okay, I'm here, I'm going to work. And when we sincerely and actually humbly reach out to other people, then they can help restore us as well, especially in our spiritual lives, when we let other people feed into our spiritual lives in a really good way.
What does surrender look like?
It's humbling ourselves before God. It's admitting that God is all-powerful and releasing our struggles to Him. It's refusing to escape into old patterns and habits and attitudes that continue to distract us and add to, really, the destruction of our life. It's no longer saying, hey, I can handle this all myself. It's submitting to God's way of doing things, even when we don't really understand His way. And it's getting past our pain and our fear and clinging to our hope in God and His love for us. Setting aside, this is hard, Chris, to set aside our human understanding and become childlike and acknowledge that we really don't have any answers that work.
That's a hard concept to wrap our minds around because we don't want to do that.
We don't. But here's the thing. The how to real change is in the who. Isn't that a good saying?
Yeah.
It almost sounds like a Dr. Seuss title, but the how to real change is in the who. Real change comes from being with Christ and allowing Him to transform us by His grace. We can't rip out the idols in our lives. We can't take care of the sin in our lives by ourselves. Things are rooted in sin, and only God can effectively deal with our sin. So if we really want to change, we have to allow the person of Christ to transform us into His image every day. We do this by spending time in His presence, by surrendering, and then change comes in because it's the who that changes us. So we can see counselors for help. I'm a therapist. I'm always in agreement of a counselor. But it's the who that really helps us in change, and that who is God. We could go on and on with this topic, but that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, our man on the street, Derek Battle, our engineer, Caleb Carpenter, our social media director, Hannah Duke, and thanks, of course, to my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we are doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.